Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV. Presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss. Structure, accountability, results. The standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. Every Friday, we're joined by best-selling author and Washington Post columnist John Feinstein. He joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. And he is brought to you by Golfdom. Located in Tysons, Virginia, or at golfdomgolf.com. Visit today to experience the best in golf, on and off the course. Golf them, live the game. Hey, John, are you into the World Cup at all?
A little bit. I mean, I'll get into it more as they get into the knockout rounds. And, you know, like a lot of people, I'd probably be more into it if the U.S. was playing. But It is the world's most watched sporting event. So you really shouldn't ignore it if you work as a sports writer. So I'm aware of it for sure.
Hey, John, I assume you're at Shinnecock. You told us you were going to be there last week, right?
Yeah, it's funny because I walked outside of the media tent to talk to you guys because I figured I'd get, you know, better phone service. And I realized I was standing 20 yards from guys playing their second shots on the first fairway. So I didn't think that was a good spot to do it.
Wow. Probably not. Oh, you can do play-by-play for us.
Now, what is the...
I think that breaks about 18 USGA rules, though.
I've never been up there. I've never been up to that part of the world. What is it like up there in terms of, like, access, roads getting into the property? Are there a ton of hotels around there? Where are you staying? All that stuff.
Well, I'm staying on Shelter Island in my parents' old house that my brother now owns. So I'm very lucky because...
How far away is that from Shinnecock?
From door to door, including the ferry crossing, which is about, you know, 5-6 minutes. It's been taking me 35 minutes each morning with no traffic at all because I come in behind the traffic. And then I leave going away from the traffic. So I'm one of the lucky ones. But people coming in from the west, which is where most of the hotels are, going back towards New York, it's been a nightmare all week. I mean, people talking about three-hour trips to go 40 miles. And it's been brutal. I mean, absolutely brutal. And see, the thing is, there's just nothing you can do. There's one road that gets here. It's a two-lane road. All the trucks that have to go into the Hamptons with food and all sorts of stuff for all the rich people who live there have to drive right past here to get there. So you've got Summer Beach traffic, you've got all the trade traffic, and then you've got the golf traffic, and it's just a nightmare. When I came out on Tuesday and I turned onto Sunrise Highway, which is the road that goes past the golf course, going in the opposite direction of the traffic, and I saw the traffic going the other way, I said, if I had to be in that traffic, I'd just put my head in an oven and get it over with. It'd just be easier. Mm. I mean, so, it's been a nightmare. People are leaving at 4 o'clock in the morning to get here by 8.
I mean, that's unbelievable. Ooh. What about the player? Are players getting caught in that stuff too?
Well, yeah, players have been caught in that stuff, and there was concern. Now, a lot of the players, you know, they did their homework and they're staying at places east of here, so that they're coming in opposite the traffic, like I am. But quite a few of them were staying west of here and had terrible times getting here on practice days. And there was actually enough concern about somebody missing a tee time because of traffic that the USGA had to put out an official statement saying, you know, we've warned players about it because that's not an excuse for missing your tee time and they need to leave extra time. So I imagine some of the guys with early tee times yesterday and today were probably leaving before the sun comes up, and even though the sun comes up very early this time of year. So logistically, this place is a nightmare. The golf course is unbelievable. It's one, I think, and a lot of people agree with me, that the two best U.S. Open venues are here and Pebble Beach. Pebble Beach is also a pain in the butt logistically, but the golf course is great. You're going to see lower scores today. The wind's not blowing as much. And I looked at the pin sheets, or excuse me, the hole location sheets before I came on, and I think they've got the course set up a little bit easier today because of the scores yesterday.
What do you think about fans who criticize the actual setup and they just think it's too difficult, that it makes golfers...
Fans?
Well, I mean, we took some calls from listeners. Eric actually agrees that he doesn't
like
the setup.
I don't like it. I don't like all the false fronts.
He thinks it's too difficult for the players. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, you know, four guys shot under par yesterday, so some.
I
thought Harold Varner, who's one of the really good guys on the tour, shot 79 yesterday, and he said, "Look, the two guys I played with kept the ball in the fairway all day. One of them was Scott Piercy, who's tied for the lead, and they both played well. I didn't keep it in the fairway. I shot 9 over. Well, I mean, that isn't that the way golf's supposed to be? You hit a good shot, you get rewarded. You hit a bad shot, you get penalized.
Well, Phil hit 13.
You're just upset, Eric, because your boy shot 78.
No, I actually bet on it and made money. But Phil.
I saw that.
Yeah, Phil, well, that was the easiest money ever. Phil hit 13 out of 14 fairways, and he shot 77.
Yeah. Because he
made no putts, and on 10, he hit the fairway, and then he hit the ball 400 yards over the green.
I believe he was 2 for 9 getting up and down, and that's the greatest chipper I've ever seen.
But the other guys weren't 2 for 9. Other guys were a lot better than that. So it's challenging. You know, I always go with the Fred Couples line.
Yeah.
Years ago, he said to me, it's not a bad thing if once a year we play in a championship where even par's a good score. You know, you don't have to be 20 under. It doesn't have to win every week.
Even
did you like it last year at Erin Hills?
No, there was no drama. No drama last year.
I mean, 16 under one. It was like playing Hartford the next week. I mean, you want the U.S. Open to be unique. And what makes it unique is that the golf course is always really hard. And last year when it was 16 under, they're not coming back to Congressional anytime soon because Rory shot 16 under in 2011.
Right.
Yeah, I understand.
Right.
But that was fun, too, though. I enjoyed that. Yeah, I enjoyed it when Tiger was
running.
Well,
you enjoyed Rory's golf.
Yeah, but there was no drama.
But the difference, when Tiger shot 12 under at Pebble Beach, no one else broke par.
Right.
Tiger played probably the greatest four rounds of golf anyone's ever played that week.
Right.
So, you know, the second place, Ernie Elson and tied for second at +3.
Right.
So the golf course more than held up, except against the greatest player in history.
Right. Yeah. We have three of the best players in the world, and they all have like wedges and 9 irons in their hands, and they can't land the green. They can't keep it on the green. There's something wrong.
Sometimes
they
get unlucky.
No, it's not. But you know what? You know that when you're playing the golf course, you know that there were guys with wedges and 9 irons in their hands who did get it on the greens, who did get it close. And look, Rory couldn't find the planet yesterday. No one's a bigger fan of Rory's than mine, me. And I went out to walk with him on the back nine yesterday, and I couldn't. Rory was hitting the ball like me. It was brutal.
Right.
And Jordan won much better. Jordan starts out with a 3-putt, and then on 11 he made a 1-putt bogey. He's hitting it from one side of the green to the other side of the green. Phil didn't put up a big number, but he just kept making bogeys because he was missing greens, like you said, and not getting it up and down. If he gets it up and down, he probably shoots even par.
John, it's incredible that Dustin Johnson, I mean, he should definitely have more than one major, but it's incredible that he can hit the ball so far and so straight, so consistently. I don't understand how skilled that guy is.
I don't think he does either, by the way.
I know.
Everybody clubs him. Everybody clubs him for being so stupid. And I watch the press conferences, and he sounds normal.
Yeah, what's his reputation amongst the other media members?
They think he's
basically
a dummy.
Look,
same as
he's
you.
He's a nice guy. He is a nice guy. I spent a lot of time with him when I was working on the first major. He couldn't have been more gracious. He couldn't have been more patient. You know, and he had a tough upbringing. Let's be fair. I mean, he grew up in a tough family. In South Carolina, and it's been through some stuff. But, you know, he's just not the sharpest tool in the shed. And neither is Ricky Fowler, by the way. I told you guys that last year. Both very nice guys. Both go out of their way to cooperate. You can't complain when people are trying. But, you know, there are other guys like Rory, like Jordan, like Tiger, who are just really – and Mickelson, who are really smart guys. These guys, you know, in any business, there are guys who are smarter than others. But – like you said, Jason, Dustin Johnson can hit the hell out of a golf ball, so who cares if he's smart?
Murders it.
John, I want your input on a theory. I talked about this yesterday. So there was a story, I think Michael Wilbon in The Undefeated, or maybe it was PTI, started putting forth
it wouldn't have been undefeated. Oh, yeah, it could have been undefeated. I'm sorry.
Anyway, wherever it was from, he put forth a theory that LeBron James should come to D.C., political activism and other reasons. And my theory is Wilbon did this kind of as a make good because he received such negativity from his D.C. as a minor league sports town. And then, of course, D.C. goes on the Stanley Cup run. How do you see it?
Yeah. Wouldn't shock me. I mean, you know, Mike and I are friends. You don't have to be in D.C. to be politically active. Come on.
Right.
Especially if you're LeBron James.
It doesn't
matter. He's been politically active in Cleveland.
Yep.
And in Miami before that. I think that was a little bit probably. I haven't talked to Mike about it, obviously, and haven't read the piece. But I think maybe that was a little bit of a sop to D.C. Michael tends to go overboard. We all do at times. I mean, to call D.C. a minor league sports town is ridiculous. I think we've all agreed it's not the greatest sports town in the world by any stretch. But it's a major league sports town. It's just not a great – it's not Boston.
Right.
Or Chicago or New York.
St. Louis.
Yeah, St. Louis is a little different because they don't have an NBA team. But they do – you know, they're unbelievable, and they don't have an NFL team anymore, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
But they're it's an unbelievable baseball town.
Right.
It's one of the great baseball towns. But, yeah, Michael went overboard when he said it was a minor league sports town, just like I went overboard when I said the kid from Carolina was better than John Wall.
Yeah, yeah. You can't even remember his name. God, I can't remember the
guy. I literally can't.
Oh, lefty point guard?
That's because I'm old.
Yeah.
God,
yeah, he was Marshall. Really Kendall Marshall. Kendall Marshall.
Oh, Kendall Marshall, yeah.
He was a hell of a college player. a good pro.
Can't be right all the time.
All right, so what is your take? Let's just transition, though. What is your take on the Caps? We have to have you to talk about it. It was just so awesome the way the city embraced him and the way the Caps embraced the city.
Well, what I said to you guys last Friday was I was really glad for all the long-suffering fans. I mean, the fans who filled that arena every night,
mm-hmm.
those people, and the people who watched on TV every night when they couldn't go to the games. There are a lot of bandwagon jumpers in the last 3 weeks. You guys know that.
A lot of
people all of a sudden say, oh, we have a hockey team.
Right.
Oh, it's winning. Rah, rah.
But that's good.
It's good for the Caps, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But for all those people, Sergio just missed like a 2-foot putt, by the way. For all those people who, suffered through all the losses, the disappointments, the Penguin defeats, the 3-1 up defeats in seven, I was really, really happy for them. And you know what? The Caps earned it. They didn't back into it by any means. You know, they had to win a game 7 on the road against Tampa. They had to get past the Pittsburgh kryptonite. And then they dominated the finals against a team that had been really, really good all year. So, good for them, and good for the fact that we never have to hear people again say that Alexander Ovechkin isn't one of the great players in the history of the game. Because once you know, it's interesting how people's reps change. You know, Sergio Garcia, talking about him, his rep changed completely when he won the Masters.
Right.
John Elway's rep changed completely when he won the 2 Super Bowls at the end of his career. And now Ovechkin never has to answer the Stanley Cup question again, and that's a good thing.
Who's the author? Who's the writer that wrote that article?
Is it Larry Brooks or
Larry Brooks. You know Larry Brooks? Who's he write for the Times?
I do know Larry Brooks.
New York Post.
Post.
Yeah, been there forever, 100 years.
Did you see what he wrote?
I did not know.
Well, he basically said that winning the cup doesn't erase all the years of losing.
Yeah, his legacy doesn't change.
And I thought that's preposterous.
That's just unfair.
Pretty good troll job.
Larry Brooks is a good hockey writer, but that is preposterous. That's the opposite of Wilbon. Instead of saying, you know, finding a way to say, okay, maybe Washington's not a minor league town, he turns around and says, well, I was still right. It would be like me saying to you today, you know, I still think Kendall Marshall has a chance to be better than John Wall.
Yeah, man. It was just stupid.
Well, by the way, Wilbon.
You know what, in life, sometimes you just got to admit you're wrong.
Right.
Well, Wilbon doubled down on the
trolling.
I've always
said the 3 key words in marriage are, sorry, hon, I'm wrong.
Right. What were you going to say, Cakes?
Well, Wilbon doubled down on the trolling with the Caps and Ovi, and he just, like, 24 hours after the Caps won the Cup, he's measuring up against Rocket Richard and Patrick Kane, which I think is outrageous, just because he's won 3 cups in Chicago, saying, well, he only has one. He's only got the one after all 13 years of being in the NHL, which, look, let the guy celebrate having the cup for a week before you start attacking him.
Yeah, exactly. And look, there are a lot of great athletes in sports who only have one. Dan Marino has none. And that doesn't mean he wasn't a Hall of Fame quarterback. Fred Couples won 1 major. He's in the Hall of Fame. There are other guys, Tom Kite, like that. He's now 1-13 is a lot better than 0-12. Let's put it that way. And you should acknowledge that. And the fact is that winning a championship in the four major sports is really hard. Only one team does it every year. Yeah. There are 30 hockey teams. There are 30 NBA teams. There are 32 NFL teams. There are 30 Major League Baseball teams. Your odds starting out basically are 29-1 against you, and just mathematically. And then you, whoever's good has a chance. And the Caps have been competitive every year, which is why there's so much focus on the fact that they had not won. And who knows? They may go on a run. What if? Look, for years we said that about LeBron. LeBron hadn't won a championship. He left Cleveland without winning a championship. Then he won two in Miami, and people said, yeah, well, he had to go put together an all-star team to do it. Then he did it in Cleveland, and now he's been in eight straight finals. And all the doubters, myself included, have to shut up. LeBron and Michael Jordan are the two greatest players in history, and you can put them in any order, and I'm fine.
And the thing about hockey, too, and it was highlighted in this playoff series, is, all right, it's great to have a great player, but they're on one line. They're on one line. You need the rest of the team. I mean, we saw with the Capitals, you know, fourth liners contributing. And if it's not without that complete roster, you're not going to succeed in the playoffs or in a championship
run. And actually,
run.
The third and fourth lines made a huge difference for the Caps. And that's to the credit of Brian McClellan and George McPhee before him. But the other thing is, you don't win a Stanley Cup without a goalie who's playing well.
That
you don't.
Too.
I mean, Ovechkin could score, have a hat trick every night, and if his goalie's giving up four goals, you know, then they're not going to win, no matter what. And the Caps got great performance from Braden Holtby, and you know, I think he's almost been overlooked. If you look at where he was in February and March and what he ended up doing,
yeah, it was remarkable.
That's a hell of a story.
Yeah, you know what? Real quick, little subplot. So we always thought, because we don't know anything and we just hear the whispers, that the issues with Trotz were like with him and McClellan. Now it turns out that really it's more of Reardon being there. And, that, of course, that's McClellan's doing.
Todd Reardon.
Yeah, right. Todd Reardon.
Who's the coach in waiting,
but now it looks like it's Trotz is basically saying it's he or I, right? It's not going to be both again. That's kind of interesting the way that all played out and the way they were able to coexist, I guess.
Well, and by the way, Barry's got the hammer right now.
Oh, yeah, he does.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
You don't if you allow a guy who just won the Stanley Cup and who's been a good coach for years and years in both Nashville and Washington to leave. And if Reardon takes over or whomever takes over and they don't win the cup next year, then all the pressure falls on McClellan. If Barry's the coach next year and they don't win, then, well, they won last year.
Hey, John, one last question for you. Did you go out and get your Redskins season tickets? Because they did announce there's no waiting
They're
list.
Available.
They're available.
You know what's interesting about that? When the team first moved to Prince George's County, I actually bought club seats before my divorce when I had money. And Danny was very young, and I thought, oh, yeah, it'd be kind of cool to take Danny to the games and blah, 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 blah. And I gave him up as soon as I possibly could contractually because the parking was such a nightmare getting in and out.
Right.
You know, you had to get there 3 hours early and leave in the third quarter, and
it's
wasn't worth the effort.
Yeah.
But since that day, I can't tell you the number of emails I've gotten because obviously my name is still on the list and I haven't changed my email address. Hey, guess what? You have a chance to buy club seats again. Welcome back. We want you to come back and we'll give you this deal and we'll give you that deal. So this notion that they've been sort of begging people to buy tickets for a while. It's just now they finally made it official that they're begging people to buy tickets. And you remember Dan Steinberg's column last December? Where he bought tickets to one of the late season games. He gave one guy a Snickers bar,
right.
Gave another
so
guy
great.
$10 or something.
This is genius.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So great. You know, it's so funny, though. I was talking to a buddy about it. You know, Dan Snyder, everything he does is wrong, right? He hasn't done a single right thing.
He has to do the opposite.
He's
like,
consistent.
You're right. He is
like,
consistent.
Literally everything he touches.
He's the best at it.
I mean, you name it. It's Six Flags.
He's a Hall of Famer.
It's Johnny Rockets. It's the Redskins. And yet, the team is worth $3.5 billion. They're ripping out seats. They got no season. I mean, is he the luckiest guy in the country or what?
He is. He is. He's been incredibly lucky throughout his whole life. I mean, I don't know the details of how he got so rich, but apparently he was unbelievably lucky, and a lot of it was timing and all that. But you know what? But you know what Snyder reminds me of? When I was a kid and we'd be driving someplace, there was no GPS or anything back then, my dad would say to my mom, Bernice, do we go left or right here? My mom would go, I think left. My dad would go right. We never got lost.
Right.
And that's Snyder. You do the opposite of what Dan Snyder says is the right thing, you will live a perfect life.
Right.
All right, John. Always
Thank
fun.
Thank you, John. Tiger, appreciate it, buddy.
Tiger Birdie 10. Tiger Birdie 10,
Kicking
John.
Birdie.
I told you the golf course is playing easier.
Yeah. The 10 right. is anyway.
Thank you, buddy.
See you guys. All right. Have a good weekend.
Yep, you too.
Rex Hoggard from the Golf Channel is going to join us at 9, and Kevin Costner at 8:40 here on the Junkies.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Oh, geez. Tiger must be playing because during the break, I hear EB muttering, get there, get there.
Oh, he had the right line.
You're ahead of me. You're whatever you're watching is a little like 2 seconds ahead of me.
I just have silly connection over here. Oh. I don't know how that's possible.
A couple things.
He has a 100-year-old Dell, right?
That's true.
No,
that's actually relatively new.
He did upgrade about two years ago.
How wrong is he most of his life?
He's wrong.
Anyway, Pedro Deportes he wants us to let all the listeners know that he's going to be calling the races at Charlestown this weekend.
Ah, very good.
So he'll be out there tomorrow calling the ponies.
Sweet.
And the hardest working guy in the business.
Yeah, and we got to thank Tropical Smoothie.
Yep, thank you.
Brought in some smoothies and
eat better, feel better. Those smoothies look gut. I have to go grab one. Jason went with the mango.
Justin Thomas just had a ridiculous par save on a par 3.
I really don't like that weasel.
I just need Ricky and Francesco Molinari to do some work.
Is Justin Thomas the guy that he's like pretty small, but he still crushes it?
Oh yeah,
he
smokes it. He's an unbelievable player.
He's about 5'8".
He's an unbelievable player.
Like that's the thing about Goff. Remember for a while they said Tiger was changing the game. He had to get ripped and everything. Mm-hmm. And yes, it does appear that more guys are in shape.
He's fit.
But I see Patrick Reed. He's kind of a big boy. You still see those guys that are a little bit out of shape. And then you have this guy like Justin Thomas. Okay, he's fit, but he doesn't have guns or anything.
No.
Well, but he still kills
speed.
It.
It's technology.
That great
and swing
speed.
Speed
and the technology is ridiculous. Yesterday, guys are hitting 400-yard drives. Remember when Corey Pavin hit that legendary, that epic, like, four-wood or whatever the hell it was to win the Open?
Shinnecock.
Yeah.
96.
Guys are now.
I actually do remember that.
Guys are now hitting 400-yard drives on that hole.
DJ just birdied. A guy yesterday, Dean Burmester, hit a 400-yard drive, had 77 yards in, dunked it from 77 yards.
It's pretty sick.
And that's Dean Burmester.
right.
Or Dean Burmester.
Right. It's the same hole.
Not
right?
until you just said he worked on the NFL Network.
I think it is. I think it's the same hole.
Yeah. And that's what Pavin was a notorious short knocker.
Yeah.
You know, he's like cakes off the tee.
But you know what?
Jonan.
Yeah, but you know what? If Corey Pavin.
Jonan's trapped.
You know what? It doesn't bother
but
me
Eric,
one bit.
If Corey Pavin was playing today, if he was 27 years old today, he'd be bombing it.
I was watching him on the senior tour because those are my contemporaries.
Right.
That sounds
like the most boring thing ever.
I was watching Jerry Kelly, Tom Lehman, Corey Pavin. All the guys I grew up watching.
You're watching Jared.
Senior
Jared. That's
at
right.
least to me, when you're watching senior golf, it's comparable to regular PGA Tour golf. You wouldn't notice that much of a difference. When they show the tennis guys,
it's a joke.
We saw a few minutes, it was Jim Courier against John McEnroe. And McEnroe's got more gray hair.
I mean, McEnroe's
hair is white, right?
He has to be the 60s.
His backswing, which has always been short.
It's the same way.
Just like tapping the
ball. Nothing's changed. McEnroe's actually in ridiculous shape.
He was like up 3-0 on Courier, but it's so slow.
It is slow, but I've been to senior tennis before because I'm a tennis geek.
There's nobody in the stands.
No, there can't be.
Who'd want to see that?
But because you're seeing the legends.
Yeah, I know.
And unless you're some sort of freak, these guys still hit the ball great. Now, they're slow. but they still hit the ball so crisp.
It looks
and clean.
So bad. My point is,
but that would be like going to see like Randy Johnson throw in a senior, you know, men's league.
Right, that's my
Maybe.
Point.
It's a little
senior
better than golf, that, I think.
But. Comparable senior tennis, not.
It's an exhibition essentially, but I actually don't mind seeing the old guys, and they hit it great.
I don't have a problem. That's my point.
They just don't move well. They can't move anymore, but they can still.
Okay. I do
can,
have a problem with the tennis.
By the way, my golf. Apologies in advance to the foursome that I get thrown into at the Johnny Holiday golf event, which I believe is Monday, mm-hmm. out at the University of Maryland.
So but you got good swag from that last year. Why didn't?
No, a couple years ago. Yeah, okay, I missed it last year, but yeah, I'm hoping to get some more Under Armour sillies. Right
oh, I remember being a little
Monday.
Jelly.
Really?
Yeah, you got like a silly jacket or something.
Nice pullover.
You don't have enough jackets.
I probably don't.
Free crap you get.
No, because I don't hoard.
Yeah.
So
yeah, but I just want to hit one.
I probably have less than four jackets.
I just want to hit one good shot. Just one. That's my goal.
It's pretty low bar.
One good shot.
You'll hit a good one.
You'll hit one good chip.
A good shot for me. Not like a good golf
you might
shot.
You might knock a putt in.
Maybe. Maybe I get lucky. Just want to contribute
Tiger's
one shot.
Tiger's going to have fun hitting out of the high grass on the 12th hole.
We did mention our Tropical Smoothie. Tropical Smoothie Cafe will give customers free Sunshine Smoothies from 2 to 7 p.m. on June 15th as part of its effort to raise $1 million for Camp Sunshine, which is a retreat for children with life-threatening illnesses and their families in Casco, Maine. During its annual National Flip-Flop Day event, customers who wear flip-flops to any Tropical Smoothie Cafe location will receive a free Sunshine Smoothie, which is a mix of mangoes, bananas, oranges, and pineapple.
And that's
Where
today.
Are your floppers?
That's today. So take advantage of that. Maybe Bruce Allen will go. Because we know
From 2 to 7 p.m.
To wear the flipper floppers.
Right. Do they serve cocktails there? Because they'll definitely go.
Well, he might have his own. He might just pour it into the Tropical just pour Smoothie it right in, right. Cafe.
And mix it
offering.
With the smoothie?
Yeah.
I need a Tropical Smoothie.
Would it be a vodka smoothie?
Maybe. I need a Tropical Smoothie in walking distance. They had a Nubs smoothie place in Crown. It was there for 6 months.
You got deep pockets. You won't become a franchisee. Just start it yourself.
Keep thinking I have deep pockets. My kids.
You're
going
the only one with deep pockets.
I knew as soon as I said that. I knew that.
Why do you keep saying
the guns
that?
Would be trained Cakes. Back on me?
I'm divorced, and my kid's going to NYU.
Yeah, your money might not be long like train smoke.
Wow. But so yours
all
is.
Those expenses.
Yours
Mine
is.
Really isn't.
Oh please.
All right, you want to get into the EP? Yeah, we only have a few minutes, but hey, you got to do it sometime, Valdez. When are you going to do it?
You're going to sell a 3-minute EP.
We'll call this EP part one. Save part two for the 9 o'clock hour.
The Jerry Springer Show. Is it over, Cakes?
I didn't know it was still going.
It's still around?
The Jerry Springer Show, you want to feel old, is wrapping up after 27 years on air. Rap party was held on June 8th. With a video monitor saying, "I survived the Jerry Springer Show," according to Us Magazine, US Mag, whatever you call it.
It's us.
Entertainment
we've
guru.
We've been doing this bit for years.
Donkey Kong.
Noting that staffers on the production side of the program have, in fact, been laid off.
Just Chad from the HFS days?
Yes.
On the Jerry Springer Show
Wait
several times?
They've had over 4,000 episodes. Began airing in September of 91, peaked in the late 90s, and, of course, made Jerry Springer a star.
Former mayor of Cincinnati.
Made him super, super rich.
He was on America's Got Talent for a while, right?
I believe so.
I think he might have been. Was he just, he wasn't a judge, right? Was he like the host? I feel like he was the host.
No, I thought he was a judge.
Maybe
he might have been a judge.
Was he the donk that got busted for writing a check to a prostitute? Or I think it was somebody.
I think there was something like that.
Something along those lines.
He definitely had a prostitute.
Oh, I don't remember that.
And it might have been writing it. He might have had a paper trail.
Was he hanging out in Montgomery County?
I mean, that story's a little bit of a show.
Hope you're not going to massage parlors in Montgomery County.
What Jason is referencing is that there was a prostitution ring that just got uncovered within the last day or two in Montgomery County. Big surprise. The front was shady massage parlors in Rockville, Gaithersburg, and Durwood. They said the guys would walk in, they'd pay $60 for the act, $40 tip, and the surrounding businesses were saying, "Well, what's going on over here?"
Right.
It's definitely shady.
Well, how about this? The police.
Oh, they called the cops
the
on.
The police staked it out, and they busted 40 guys coming to and from that day.
They're
and
doing a brisk business.
All admitted to illicit
Getting
sex. Yes.
Right.
Now, they must have thrown them a solid and not arrested them, But they just used
so
them
they just arrested
to,
the owner.
To get the owners, right.
This is a 1982 story. Jerry Springer, who is running for governor of Ohio, is using a television advertisement in which he acknowledges that he once paid for the services of a prostitute.
Right.
There you go.
With a smoking gun check. I mean, how are you that dumb?
Hmm. Well, what prostitute takes checks?
Yeah. Wouldn't you do your act and then bank accounts?
Maybe in 82, but
they had bank accounts.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, but wouldn't you do your act and then immediately call your bank and tell them to cancel the check?
It's right. A good bit.
Jason has done that bit before, like with bookies, right, Jason?
I guess when the story came out.
I remember that.
The check was 9 years old.
I thought you meant with prostitutes.
He tried to cancel it because he said, 9 years ago, I spent time with a woman I shouldn't have, and I paid her with a check.
What a donk.
It's money.
So he paid her in like 1973. Where's Jerry Springer from? I just said Cincinnati, but where is he from, according to Jason Bishop?
Where was he born?
Where is he
born?
From? Rules.
Japan.
Oh, I thought he was from Cincinnati.
Jerry Springer, British.
Oh, he is.
Where was he born?
That. Born in
Britain.
London?
Oh, I don't know
Britain,
the city.
Yeah,
just said from Britain.
Well, Britain's a great Britain is four countries. England, is he from England?
No, he's going to have
to. Nobody cares.
1982
nobody cares.
Story.
He's not from Cincinnati.
I don't care.
Nobody cares.
All right, what do you guys got? Anything interesting?
I don't know. Valdez is saying we got a break.
No, we don't. We got another minute.
We got Kevin Costner.
We got Kevin Costner that we need to be
Jason, I
very on
what
time
I,
for.
What should I ask him?
I think you should just go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Maybe just sit this one
you've
out.
You've been talking about you've had a while.
I want to ask him a question.
I want you to ask him the first question.
But what do I ask him?
A lot of people have said you should ask him the Cal Ripken question.
Wow.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah, you ask
I
him
dare
that.
You.
I can sabotage
you.
I dare
you. Can't do that.
I'll bet you $1,000 you don't ask him that.
That's I can sabotage that real quick.
Yeah, you certainly could.
You know what? I'm going to ponder it during the break.
Yeah,
we got Rex
that.
Hoggard at 9 o'clock. I know you'll ask him golf questions because
so
he's from the golf channel.
I dare
channel.
You to ask him the
but we got
question.
Kevin Costner next here on The Fan.
Welcome back to the show, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Happy to be joined now by legendary actor Kevin Costner. He has a brand new series coming out June 20th on the Paramount Network, Yellowstone. It's a modern Western, and joining us is Kevin Costner.
Kevin, thanks for being on the show. Appreciate it.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. I tell you, when I first saw the trailer, and I didn't know much about it, I went, oh, my God, this looks like it's going to be an amazing movie. That's how incredible the production values for this thing is. And then when they told me, no, it's for Paramount, it's going to be a whole series.
And the guy who wrote it wrote Sicario and Hell or High Water. That's a pretty good resume.
I was like, wow, this thing is going to be pretty epic, pretty amazing. What drew you to it?
Well, it felt different. We've got a load of cop things and hospital things and courtroom things and
right
and that doesn't mean those aren't going to stay in vogue because they are, but I looked at this and I thought, wow, the setting at which it takes place, I mean, we're working in the Bitterroot Valley right where Lewis and Clark went through, and it's really good. I saw it 2 days ago and it was what I wanted it to be. I always start things with the idea that they can be great, and that starts with a script, and Taylor is a really great writer. And it had that. But, there's a lot of things like a salmon headed upstream that can derail something. People get afraid of, something, or they don't like some of the quirky things, and suddenly something doesn't become what it started out to be. And Yellowstone has stayed exactly what it should be. So I do think... It's sometimes trailers are better than the
right.
movie, but in this instance, the show is really good.
Kevin, 10 or 15 years ago, if somebody approached an actor, in the movies of your stature about doing something on TV, you might have turned your nose up at it. But now you've seen so much great TV over the last decade or so. So this seems like a natural progression for you to, still do movies, but get into TV as well, especially where you can kind of flesh it out and have it out over a series instead of it just being a 90-minute or 2-hour movie. With Yellowstone, now you can do, I'm not sure how many episodes there are going to be in this initial series, but you can do 8 or 10 episodes and really have a great story arc, which I'm sure is going to happen with Yellowstone.
Well, everybody knows I'm not afraid of long movies. I've historically gone towards movies that have a big narrative. That aren't afraid of, going down the rabbit holes of plot, because they're really fun. It's like reading a book. And so, I'm drawn to that. And, you know, there's 10 episodes in this particular thing. And you know, I did this about 7 years ago, or I'm not even sure anymore, Hatfield and McCoy's. So I've always been drawn to writing because I put, you know, listen, a lot of people think, oh, you make movies, you know, and women like them, or because I think the truth is because I've always made sure that great women characters exist in the movies I've made. But the truth is I make movies for guys. And because I have guys on my shoulder, in a sense, watching, does this feel good? Does this feel authentic? Does this take us to a place we didn't think we're going to go? And that's really how I approach things. So I don't live my life with a lot of fear. Oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. And that's why I did Hatfield and McCoy's. And it's exactly why I did Yellowstone.
Kevin Costner joins us. The new show is Yellowstone. It premieres Wednesday, June 20th, 9 p.m. Eastern on the Paramount Network. Now, tell our listeners what it's really about. It looks like there's family drama involved. It looks like there's political drama involved. Talk a little bit about what the Dutton family and you're the patriarch have to endure.
Yeah. Well, it's on the surface, it's the largest contiguous cattle ranch in the country. And it's present day. It's not like our modern day look at ranching. It's really how ranching is done these days. I mean, for the most part, it's still done on horseback, but the trappings of how we have to do things in this century, you know, helicopters and ATVs. And so the reality is that, you know, we sometimes are numb about how the steak ends up on our table. You know, we kind of think we understand the farmer and the rancher, but we don't really. That has to happen. And this is what I was, the appeal for it, me, was to see this life. And yeah, I have a dysfunctional family. We wouldn't have a terrible amount of drama if I didn't. Mm-hmm. And it deals with that in a very authentic way. But what really is the enemy of the rancher, I don't want to say enemy, but it's the outside pressure of politics, the use of land, the EPA, you know, in this instance, Native American rights, which play a really big part in Yellowstone because of the, you know, that land was theirs for sure, and it was taken by force. And so there's this pressure that's coming to bear from Native Americans, which is really interesting. And it's really hard-hitting. So it deals with a dysfunctional family, mine. After five generations, a lot of the kids don't want to be in ranching anymore. And that kind of hurts his heart a little bit.
What was your background with this area? Like, did you grow up, like, you have a ranch? Like, how much education did you need for this sort of thing? Was this right up your alley? Did you already know the issues involved? How much, like, sort of research did you have to do for this?
I've always moved towards this. You know, I made about five Westerns. I have about 160 acres in Colorado. Mm-hmm. I don't consider myself a rancher or, you know, though, I mean, that would just be, you know, just a little bit too big of a stretch. I've always been in the outdoors, and I'm not like any different than a lot of people. Once you get exposed to it, it's hard to turn away from it. And so, you know, the idea of horses, I mean, you saw Dancer with Wolves. I'm running full tilt with buffalo and, you know, no, you know, no reins in my hand. I got a gun, you know. And so I've kind of always imagined myself there. When I was a little kid, I saw How the West Was Won. I was about 7 years old. A little boy's party took me there. And that movie was 4 hours long, so you can understand why I made four-hour movies.
Wow.
But I was so thrilled with the opening image of Jimmy Stewart going across this lake, you know, that had no movement, and then coming to the shore and meeting these exotic people. So it was such a big impression that over the next, like, 12 years, I built three canoes and then started going down those same rivers.
Wow.
You know, Kevin, I think I romanticize the idea of a ranch a lot, but I'm a city slicker. Like, it sounds like way too much work for me, and I think everybody else in this room. Like, it seems cool, but there's a lot of work that goes into it, right?
Oh, man, it starts before the light comes up, and you have to deal with it in all the weather. I'm a city slicker, too, brother. So, so I just love the life. I do the things I can. You know, I'm on my tractors early on my own property, but I still consider myself a city slicker, you know.
Right.
People who do it every day, that's something else.
Well, you lived in Compton for a little while growing up, right?
Yeah, I did. And then we moved out, and that was into the country, and that's where it kind of started for me.
You know, you talk about every project that you do it with the intention of it being great, and you've done so many great films. One of your more recent works we loved, because we're poker guys, was Molly's Game. I thought you were fantastic in that, as usual. Did that reach that threshold for you? Did you think that was were you pleased with the way that movie came out and you know, your experience with that?
I was. I was a small part of it, but there's this thing, you know, in families, and sometimes you can't get at the bottom of what's wrong. And nobody's immune to it. You know, it's biblical. Sometimes relationships between fathers and sons, fathers and daughters. And listen, we're all trying to live our life, and for the kids who think we should be perfect, they should get over it. We're not going to be perfect parents, and they have the perfect opportunity to be better themselves by looking at what we did wrong. You know, it's like, you know, enough. I mean, it's possible we've driven our kids to the therapy chairs when they're 30. But, you know, we do the best we can. And I thought what was interesting about Molly's Game was that final scene. Mm-hmm. And I kind of did that for everybody in the world, that, you know, it's just a great scene there. And I thought I was the guy to do that, to kind of bring perspective that children that grow up and feel like they've been slighted, affected, or whatever. It was a really kind of a one-of-a-kind scene that I've never seen before. And that's what I try to do in my life, you know, whether it's, you know, the small part in a movie, a big part in a movie. You know, Yellowstone is a really great cast. You're going to like it. If you find it, you'll like it. Because, and if you're jealous of me a little bit for being out to be out on those horses, I'll just tell you this, you probably should be. It's really fun.
Yeah, Kevin,
you know, it is fun.
You mentioned the cast. It's you, Wes Bentley, who we know from Hunger Games and American Beauty. You got Cole Hauser as part of the cast. And Danny Houston, that's a guy that's a really good actor as well. So, you know, Yellowstone looks like you guys have hit a home run as far as the cast, and we're all looking forward to checking it out. It's Yellowstone. It premieres June 20th. On Paramount Network. It's Kevin Costner. Thanks a lot for the time, man.
Thank you, Kevin.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone.
Yep. Thanks for the time.
Pretty cool.
I mean, very cool.
That's
a legend.
That's a series.
He's won two Academy Awards.
That's a series.
Two.
It looks intriguing. And
I've been looking for a new show this summer. I stumbled onto The Staircase through my wife, which is 3 years old. EB's mentioned that.
Well, it's actually
yesterday.
Way older than that, but I watched it 3 years ago.
Right. But I need a new show, so I'm going to give Yellowstone a shot.
See,
it looks really good.
I'm not generally a Western guy, but a modern Western, a modern take on it, that sort of twist, I think I can get into.
I decided not to make it awkward, but I could have made it awkward. You know, a lot of people say, I have a 1-year-old, so I'm kind of an old dad at 47.
Right.
He cranked out three kids like after he turned like 55 or so.
I'm out of the making it awkward biz.
Yeah, but he's got...
I'm too old for
he's
that.
He's got money that's long like train smoke, so it doesn't really matter as far as when he has kids.
I feel like a young
they'll
buck.
They'll be fine.
Yeah, they'll be good.
His kids
they're
are
good
be
to
fine.
Go.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for not doing that. that was something 15 years ago for us.
Right. Exactly.
I just want to get through
it. Kind of leave that in our past.
Yeah, but Kevin Costner, it's strange. So when I saw the trailer for Yellowstone, I looked at him and went, wow, right away, he's one of those guys that I'm just drawn to.
Yeah.
Like, even though we've seen him in 9 billion different roles, I just take him seriously as an actor. And I think there was a period of time where maybe people goofed on him.
Waterworld.
From Waterworld and some of these big budget movies that he's done. But I don't know, man.
He's a good actor.
You know, he commands your attention.
Dude, in Molly's Game, he plays a really good a-hole, too intense dad to his kids.
He's just one of those guys who just has it.
Yeah, he definitely does.
But Dances with Wolves is a 5 out of 5.
It's amazing.
Unbelievable. He's had so
awesome.
Many.
I mean, he's got a ridiculous filmography.
Yeah. And he's cranked out a bunch of baseball movies, too.
Yes, he has.
Nice. All right, that was Kevin Costner. The new show is called Yellowstone. Debuts on Wednesday, June 20th, 9 p.m. on Paramount Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.